Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me again, and I'm sorry for the alarm this morning. It was me. I tried to open the door to see you sing a song and putting up the Danish flag, and I opened the wrong door and just the alarm. So I'm sorry for that.
Jeg er ked af, at jeg satte alarmen på i morges. Jeg åbnede den forkerte dør, da jeg så flaget gik op.
But that was making sure that everyone was early up in the morning, ready for the day. So.
Men alle var jo klar til dagen.
So, let's pray.
Lad os bede.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and for this opportunity to be with you and be besides in having the your word with us.
Vi takker dig, himmelske Far, at vi må være hos dig, og at vi må være under den himmel og under dit ord. Amen.
So, Pastor Leif will read the text directly in Danish what we have before us this morning. It's Matthew chapter 3.
Lad os høre Matthæus kapitel 3. I de dage træder Johannes Døber frem og prædiker i Judæas ørken. Omvend jer, for himmeriget er kommet nær. Det er ham, der er talt om ved profeten Esajas, der siger, der er en, der råber i ørkenen, ban Herrens vej, gør hans stier jævne. Johannes bar klæder af kamelhår og havde et læderbælte om livet, og hans føde var græshopper og vildhonning. Der drog Jerusalem og hele Judæa og hele Jordanegnen ud til ham, og de blev døbt af ham i Jordanfloden, i det de bekendte deres synder. Men da han så, at mange af farisæerne og saddukæerne kom for at blive døbt af ham, sagde han til dem, Øgleyngel, hvem har bildt jer ind, at I kan flygte fra den kommende vrede? Så bær da den frugt, som omvendelsen kræver, og tro ikke, at I kan sige ved jer selv, vi har Abraham til fader. For jeg siger jer, Gud kan opvække børn til Abraham af stenene der. Øksen ligger allerede ved træernes rod, og hver træ, som ikke bærer god frugt, hugges om og kastes i ilden. Jeg døber jer med vand til omvendelse, men han, som kommer efter mig, er stærkere end jeg, og jeg er ikke værdig til at bære hans sko. Han skal døbe jer med Helligånden og ild. Han har sin kasteskovl i hånden, og han skal rydde sin tærskeplads og samle sin hvede i lade. Men avnerne skal han brænde i en ild, der aldrig slukkes. Der kommer Jesus fra Galilea til Johannes ved Jordan for at blive døbt af ham. Men Johannes ville hindre ham i det og sagde, jeg trænger til at blive døbt af dig, og du kommer til mig. Men Jesus svarede ham, lad det nu ske, for således bør vi opfylde al retfærdighed. Så føjede han ham. Men da Jesus var døbt, steg han straks op fra vandet, og se, himlene åbnede sig over ham, og han så Guds ånd dale ned, lige som en due og komme over sig. Og der lød en røst fra himlene, det er min elskede søn, i ham har jeg fundet. Velbehag.
So, thank you for this reading. And this morning we'll try to understand all this text that we just heard.
Denne morgen vil vi prøve at forstå den tekst, som vi nu har hørt.
So, the second chapter of Matthew, if you just go a little bit back, it concludes when Jesus is still a little boy returning from Egypt.
Hvis vi går et kapitel tilbage, så læser vi om Jesus, der som en lille dreng vendte tilbage fra Egypten.
And now this third chapter, it opens up with Jesus with 30 years old.
Og her i kapitel 3 fortælles der så om Jesus, han var 30 år.
Of course Matthew doesn't tell us that Jesus is 30 years old, but If we look to Luke, chapter 3, verse 23, where Luke tells us that Jesus began his work when he was about 30 years old. So this episode that Jesus is coming to John the Baptist to get baptized, it's in the same period of time.
Matthæus fortæller os ikke, hvor gammel Jesus er, men vi kan læse i Matthæus evangeliet kapitel 3, at Jesus var omkring 30 år, da han begyndte sit virke.
So he began his public ministry when he got baptized by John.
Han begyndte sin offentlige tjeneste, da han var blevet døbt af Johannes.
So let's talk this morning also a little bit of John and his John the Baptist and his work and his doings in those days.
Så lad os også nu her tale lidt sammen om Johannes Døber, hvad han gjorde i de dage.
If we go to our text, chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, and if we read it and if we look at it.
Hvis vi nu går til kapitel 3, vers 1 til vers 6 og læser og kigger på det.
Which characteristics you see in John the Baptist in his message, what he is telling people?
Hvad er så karakteren af Johannes Døbers forkyndelse?
What do you see in his text? What is he asking the people to do?
Hvad ser I i teksten? Hvad beder han folk om at gøre?
And you can answer. It's not just a rhetorical question.
I må gerne komme med et svar, hvis I vil.
Ja.
Repent.
Repent. His whole message begins and with him telling the people to repent.
Hele hans budskab, det havde som karakter.
Yeah, we see it in the verse 2 of our text. He says, repent of your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near.
I vers 2, omvend jer, for himmeriget er kommet nær.
And John the Baptist himself, he did it with all his body and all what he had. He preached repent. He even preached repent to King Herod's entering into illegal marriage with his brother's wife.
Johannes Døber, han prædikede med hele sin person, med hele sin krop, med alt hvad han var. Han prædikede også for kong Herodes, som jo havde taget sin brors hustru som sin hustru.
And you remember what happened to John after that?
Og I ved jo hvad der skete med Johannes Døber.
Yeah. Just cut his head off.
Han blev halshugget.
But he saw that it was urgent to preach and to teach about repent.
Men han vidste, at det var absolut nødvendigt at forkynde omvendt.
But it wasn't just telling people that they were wrong.
Men han forkyndte ikke kun, at folk de gjorde forkert.
Or for what they had done wrong.
Han talte heller ikke kun om hvad de havde gjort forkert.
But he also told them what they should do right.
Han sagde også hvad rigtigt de skulle gøre.
It's not just telling you are doing this wrong. He's showing them what they are doing wrong, and at the same time he's showing them what they should to do.
Han viser dem, fortæller dem, hvad de har gjort forkert, men samtidig fortæller han også, hvad de skal gøre, hvad der er rigtigt at gøre.
He not only condemned them from what they were, but he challenged them to be what they should be.
Han fordømte dem ikke bare for hvad de var, men han udfordrede dem med hvad de burde være.
So. His main message was about repent. He was not just showing the wrongdoings of the people, but he was also showing what they should to do right. Two points of his two characteristics of his message.
Så karakteren af hans budskab, det er omvend jer, og der er to ting. Det ene er I har handlet forkert, og det andet er her er hvad I skal gøre.
Another characteristic of John's message and preaching was that he was pointing to someone else.
Og en anden karakter ved hans budskab var, at Johannes Døber pegede på en anden.
His goal was to prepare the way for a, not for himself, but for the king.
Hans formål med at prædike, det var at forberede vejen, ikke for sig selv, men for kongen.
So we see it in the verse 3 of our text. It says, prepare the way for the Lord to pass by. Make straight roads for him.
Det står i vers 3. Der er en, der råber i ørkenen, ban Herrens vej, gør hans stier jævne.
And why is he using this example, or this talking about roads, when he talks about the coming of the king?
Hvordan kan det være, at han taler om at forberede og lave en vej, når han taler om en konge?
Why is he asking people to make plain roads or to prepare the roads for the coming king?
Hvorfor siger han, at de skal sørge for, at vejen er jævn og til at komme fremad?
See, for us maybe it's not so common, because you here in Denmark have so perfect roads everywhere you go.
Her i Danmark har I jo meget fine veje overalt.
If you want to make a trip, you just go into your car and you drive hours and hours and hours and fine roads.
Og der er fine veje overalt.
But in those days, they had no fine and good and beautiful roads as we have.
Men dengang havde de ikke så fine veje som vi har.
Maybe they were just small tracks to people walk by foot.
Det her måske bare nogle små stier, hvor man skulle gå til fods.
So, before a traveler set out a journey, they were told to do some things before to go out.
Og før en skulle ud at rejse, så fik de at vide, hvad de skulle gøre for inden.
Yeah, they should, before going to a trip, pay all the debts.
Før de tog på en rejse, så skulle de betale al deres gæld.
Make provision for those who depend on him.
Og de skulle sørge for dem, som var afhængige af dem.
Offer gifts to his friends and relatives before departure.
Og de skulle også give nogle gaver til deres venner og familie, inden de rejste.
Return whatever he had received in custody.
Og hvis at de havde fået noget til låns, så skulle de give det tilbage, inden de rejste.
Take with him some money.
Også tage penge med.
And say goodbye to everyone.
Og så sige farvel til alle.
And not just to say bye, see you later, but was really a farewell. Goodbye, I may never see you again.
Og det her farvel, det var ikke når vi ses inden længe, men det var måske et farvel, som var for altid.
So every time when someone would make a trip, it wasn't a trip to the beach.
Så når nogen skulle ud og rejse, så var det ikke bare lige en tur ned til stranden.
It was very normal that people died on the roads, because it were very difficult roads and trips to do.
Det var ikke ualmindeligt, at man også kom til skade eller ligefrem døde, når man var ude at rejse.
So some roads where the king needed to pass to go from one city to another city.
Og når en konge skulle rejse fra en by til en anden,
they were repaired just when the king was coming.
Så skulle de forberede, at kongen nu kom.
And before the king came to the city, he was sending messengers before him.
Og før kongen kom til byen, så havde han udsendinger, som kom i forvejen.
To make those roads fine, so the king had no problems with his traveling.
Så at de kunne også reparere vejen og stien, så at kongen ikke havde problemer.
So when John the Baptist is preaching that they should prepare the way, the road for the king.
Når Johannes Døber nu siger, at de skal forberede vejen for kongen.
The people that were hearing him, they knew what he was talking about.
Så vidste de godt, hvad han talte om.
Because they were used to receive kings, and because of that, their roads were repaired.
Fordi var også vant til at der kunne komme konger og så skulle vejen ordnes.
See, John was preparing the way not for himself, but for the king.
Så Johannes Døber forberedte ikke nogen vej for sig selv, men for kongen.
Another important thing with John and with his teaching, we see in verse 4.
I vers 4 har vi et andet vigtigt spørgsmål, vigtig sag.
So we see what was John using. It says John wore a garment made of camel hair and a leather belt, and he ate grasshoppers and wild honey.
Han havde klæder af kamelhår, havde et læderbælte om livet, og som føde spiste han græshopper.
And again, it was something that people could again rely. They could see the what was happening, so like.
Og det var også et tegn til folk, så de kunne se, der skete noget nu.
So if you go to the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 1, verse 8, there we have the same exactly reproduction what describes Elijah's garment.
Hvis vi går til anden kongebog, kapitel 1, så beskrives der Elias' klædedragt, og det er præcis det samme, som var Johannes Døbers klædedragt.
Because one of the Jewish beliefs was at that time was that Elijah would return before the coming of the Messiah.
Og man troede på den tid, at Elias ville vende tilbage, når Messias kom.
And that he would be the herald for the coming king.
Og at Elias så vil være budbringeren, sendebudet, som sagde, nu kommer kongen.
So when John appears with the same garment that in the Old Testament was the garment of Elijah.
Så der Elias, der Johannes Døber trådte frem med samme klædedragt som Elias havde.
It was God showing the people that that wasn't Elijah who would come back from the dead to prepare the way of the king. It was John the Baptist who had this work in front of him.
Så viste Gud folket, at det var ikke Elias, som ville komme tilbage fra himlen, men det var Johannes Døber, som nu var budbringeren.
See, John was fulfilling also a saying from the Old Testament, so that he was now the man who was preparing the way for Jesus.
Johannes Døber, han opfyldte et løfte fra det gamle testamente og forberedte nu vejen for Herren.
So, Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, as we continue, we see not so beautiful words that John has to the Sadducees and to the Pharisees.
Og når vi går videre til vers 7, så møder vi nogle ord, som ikke er særlig kønne, til farisæerne og sadukæerne.
So some of them came to be baptized by John also.
Nogle af dem kom også og ville døbe sig Johannes Døber.
Yeah, but he called them brood of snakes.
Men han sagde til dem, at de var øgleyngel.
Yeah, and in Portuguese, it's he calls them ninhada de cobras venenosas, not just snakes, but very dangerous and poison, full of poison snakes.
Altså på portugisisk, slanger og mere end det, rigtige væmmelige giftslanger.
Yeah, so he is not calling them my friends and I love you or something like that. He's just calling them snakes.
Han siger ikke, og kære venner, og jeg holder mig dig her, men han siger, I slanger.
Yeah. Who said that you will escape the terrible punishment that God will send? Do things that show that you are sorry for your sins.
Hvem har bildt jer ind, at I kan flygte fra den kommende vrede? I skulle være kede af, at I er sådan, som I er.
See, he is not just saying them they should repent, but he's saying to them they should do things that show to people that they really were repent.
Han siger altså ikke kun, at de skal holde op med at gøre nogle dårlige ting, men de skal også gøre noget godt, som viser at de har omvendt sig.
So when he says, who said to you that you will escape the terrible punishment that God will send? He's making for those Pharisees and Sadducees a very vivid image of a life in desert.
Han siger til dem, hvem har sagt til jer, at I kan slippe for den kommende vrede? Og her får vi så et meget levende billede fra ørkenen.
So John knew the desert. The Pharisees and the Sadducees knew the desert as well. So in some places in the desert there were very dry, small bushes and small trees in the desert.
Johannes Døber, han kendte ørkenen rigtig godt, men det gjorde også farisæerne og sadukæerne. Og der var områder, hvor der var meget tørt i ørkenen og meget lav vækst af buske.
And sometimes in the desert, in these small trees and bushes, fires occur.
Og det skete nogle gange, at der på de meget tørre steder pludselig opstod ild.
So and when the fire came and sweeps through the small bushes and small trees.
Og så var bare det, at ilden den så føg igennem buskene, og så blev de brændt op.
Small animals like scorpions and serpents and other animals, they don't want just stay still and wait for the fire.
Og de små dyr, som var i buskaget, skorpioner og slanger, de blev ikke bare siddende der i buskaget.
Those serpents and those scorpions and those other small animals, what would they do when the fire come?
Hvad må de gøre, de små dyr, når ilden kom?
You know this sign? They just would run for their lives.
De vil løbe for livet.
Because of the fire.
På grund af ilden.
So that's what John is saying to them. Who tells you that you can escape the rat and the fire when it comes?
Hvem er det, der siger til jer, at I kan undslippe ilden, når den kommer?
He's telling them, where repent, really, repent is not present. There is no escape from the fire.
Der er slet ikke nogen udvej.
Where repent is not present, and where a change of life is not present, you cannot flee from the fire.
Hvis ikke der er omvendelse, hvis ikke man angrer sine synder, hvis ikke at man gør det, så er der ikke nogen udvej fra ilden.
So that's what John is telling the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but that's the same what he's telling us as well. If we don't repent and don't show our repentance and change our way, our life, there is no escape from the fire.
Det samme siger han også til os, at hvis ikke at vi omvender os, altså angrer vores synder, og så også forbedrer vores liv, så er der ikke nogen udvej fra ilden.
So I can imagine the Pharisees and the Sadducees hearing that. They were not very happy.
Og fariserne og sadukæerne har nok ikke været særlig glade for det her.
Because they thought they knew everything. So they were the biggest human beings on earth. And then comes John the Baptist and says to them, you need to repent.
De anså sig selv for at være de mest fromme og de største blandt jøderne. Og nu kommer Johannes Døber så og siger, I må omvende jer.
Yeah, and now we come to the verse 9. So, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they weren't showing that they are repenting from the sins. And then John knows that and says, and do not say to one another, Abraham is our forefather. For I tell you, God is able to make descendants of Abraham from these stones.
Og nu siger så Johannes Døber til dem, I skal ikke bare sige ved jer selv, at vi har Abraham som far, for Gud kan opvække børn til Abraham af stenene der.
So they thought that just because they were descendants from Abraham, they don't needed to repent for their sins.
De tænkte nemlig, at eftersom de jo var Abrahams efterkommere, så behøvede de ikke at omvende sig fra deres synder.
Their belief was that just because of that, and not because of anything else, just because they were Abraham descendants, they would go to eternal life.
De mente, at når man var efterkommer af Abraham, så fik man evigt liv.
There was a saying among them that Abraham was sitting at the gates of hell, keeping out any Jew.
Og der var et ordsprog blandt jøderne, at Abraham han sad nede ved porten til helvede, og der sørgede han så for, at ingen jøde kom ind i helvede.
So Abraham was sitting at the door, and any Jew that just came to go into the hell, he would say to them, no, it's not your place, you go to the other side, to the heaven. So they thought, just because they were descendants of Abraham, they would go to heaven.
Så når man som jøde kom til helvedes port, så sagde Abraham, nej, gå den anden vej, du hører til i himlen. Og så blev man ført derhen, fordi man var en efterkommer af Abraham.
And John says to them, repent and show that you are repent.
Johannes Døber sagde, omvend jer og vis, at I angrer jeres synder.
Verse 10.
Øksen ligger allerede ved træernes rod, og hvert træ, som ikke bærer god frugt, hugges om og kastes i ilden.
Yesterday we heard about the harvest is big and there are not a lot of workers.
Yeah. I går hørte vi om, at høsten er stor, og der er ikke ret mange til at udføre høstarbejdet.
And here we have again the image of the harvest, of a harvest.
Og så har vi her igen billedet med en høst.
At the end of the season, the one who took care of the vineyard, he was looking at the plants, at the bushes, and separating those who had not borne fruit, and those who had not borne fruit were eliminated. Simply like that.
Når høsten var over, så gjorde den, som havde vingården, han gjorde så det arbejde med at fjerne de stammer, de træer, som ikke havde båret frugt, og brændte dem op i ilden.
That's the way that John finds to tell the people, if you don't repent and produce fruits, the axe is ready to cut you down.
Og så siger Johannes til dem, hvis ikke angrer jer synder og bærer frugt, så kommer øksen.
This is law.
The law.
The law. And those Sadducees and Pharisees, they needed to hear the law.
Farisæerne og sadukæerne, de havde brug for at høre loven.
And we sometimes we need to hear the law also.
Og vi har også nogle gange brug for at høre loven.
Because we know we are not perfect.
For vi ved, vi er ikke, som vi skulle være.
And when we hear the law, it makes us want even more the sweet of the gospel.
Og når vi hører loven, så vil det også blive så meget mere herligt at høre evangeliet.
So you see, John is using so many words and situations that the people would know about.
Se, Johannes Døber, han bruger billeder og taler om med sammenligninger, som folk de kendte så vel til.
He's talking about the roads. He's talking about the serpents trying to flee the fire. He's talking about the harvest. If you don't bear fruit, you will be cut down. So he's not talking in Greek or. In Portuguese we say translate it.
Ja, han taler om en vej, han taler om slanger der flygter når der er ild og han
yeah. Sometimes in Portuguese if we are talking to our children and they seem to not understanding us, then we ask them, am I talking in Greek to you?
Nogle gange, når man siger noget til sine børn, og det ser ud som om, de ikke forstår det, så siger man på portugisisk, snakker jeg græsk, yeah. Eller hvad?
So, John is talking to that people, to those people, in their own language, and he is using what they knew for every day.
Johannes Døber taler ikke græsk til dem. Han taler så med et sprog og med billeder, som de kender så godt.
Okay, let's go back to our text now. Verse 11 to 12.
Vers 11 og vers 12.
Ok. Can we?
Jeg døber jer med vand til omvendelse, men han som kommer efter mig er stærkere end jeg, og jeg er ikke værdig at bære på hans sko. Han skal døbe jer med Helligånden og ild. Han har sin kasteskovl i hånden, og han skal rydde sin tærskeplads og samle sin hvede i sin lade. Men avnerne skal han brænde med ild, i en ild, der aldrig slukkes.
One of the characteristics of John's preaching was that he was pointing to someone else.
Det var karakteristisk for Johannes Døber, at han pegede på en anden.
So he is telling them, I am baptizing with water, but there is someone coming.
Han sagde, jeg døber jer med vand, men der kommer en.
That will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Som vil døbe jer med den hellige ånd og ild.
That was not me again. Yeah. But I'm afraid every time I touched something wrong. So John is pointing beyond himself. He's pointing to someone more important than he is.
Han peger ud over sig selv mod en anden, hen til en anden, som er mere betydningsfuld.
At that time he enjoyed a great reputation. He had great influence. He could say, "Yeah, I am the one."
Men Johannes Døber, han var ellers en, som var højt agtet, og han kunne også have udnyttet muligheden og sagt, ja, ja, den.
He was a famous preacher, and people came to him to hear him.
Han var en berømt prædikant, og mange kom til ham.
So he says, okay, you are coming to me, but there is someone else coming that I am not, how is the word that he uses? I do not deserve the honor to even carrying his sandals. In Portuguese, it says, I cannot have the honor to tie his sandals. That's also so in Danish. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Og Johannes, han siger jo, at ham som kommer efter mig, jeg er ikke engang værdig til at binde skorammen eller løse skorammen på hans sandal.
So he said that the one who was to come would baptize them with the Spirit and with fire.
Han vil døbe med Helligånd og ild.
So that's not so easy every time to understand if you look at just this text.
Hvis vi kun ser på det her vers, så kan det være lidt svært at forstå, hvad der menes.
Let's go back to the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel.
Lad os gå tilbage til Gamle Testamentet, til profeten Ezekiels bog.
Chapter 36. If you want to open your Bible in Ezekiel, chapter 36.
Ezekiel kapitel 36.
Verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put in you a new spirit and put a new spirit within you. I will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them.
Jeg vil stænke rent vand på jer, så I bliver rene. Jeg renser jer for al jeres urenhed og jeres møguder. Vers 26. Jeg giver jer et nyt hjerte og en ny ånd i jeres indre. Jeg fjerner stenhjertet fra jeres krop og giver jer et hjerte af kød. Jeg giver jer min ånd i jeres indre, så I følger mine love og omhyggeligt holder mine bud.
And the chapter 37 of the same book of Ezekiel, just one chapter ahead, verse 14 says, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live.
Og i kapitel 37, vers 14, jeg giver min ånd, så I bliver levende.
And chapter 39, verse 29, says, I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit, and the house of Israel, says the Lord God. On the house of Israel, says the Lord God.
Og samme i Ezekiels bog, kapitel 39, vers 29, jeg vil aldrig mere skjule mit ansigt for dem, for jeg udgyder min ånd over Israels hus, siger Gud Herren.
So let's talk about a little bit about this word, spirit.
Så lad os nu grave lidt ned i ordet ånd.
And the Hebrew word for spirit, it is ruach.
Det hebraiske ord for ånd, det er ruach.
And like pneuma, what's the Greek word to spirit?
Og det er det græske tilsvarende ord, det er pneuma.
It does not just mean spirit.
Og det betyder ikke kun ånd.
It also means breath.
Det betyder også åndedræt.
The breath of life.
Livets åndedræt.
And therefore, when we hearing the promise of the spirit, we also are hearing the promise of life, the breath of life.
Så når vi hører løftet om ånden, så hører vi også løftet om, at vi vil få åndedræt, altså få liv.
The spirit of God breathes his life into man.
Guds ånd, den giver liv og åndedræt til mennesket.
It's like in Genesis, when God created man, he makes the man and he gives him the spirit of life.
Sådan også i 1. Mosebog, i skabelsesberetningen, står der, at Gud han blæste livsånde i mennesket, og mennesket blev et levende væsen.
So the word ruach not only means spirit and not only means breath, but also means wind.
Men ordet ruach betyder ikke bare ånd og åndedræt, men betyder også vind.
It's the term that designates not only smooth and sweet wind.
Og det er ikke bare sådan en stille brise.
But the wind of a storm.
Men næsten orkanagtig vind.
And this wind and this storm means power.
Og den det er udtryk for magt.
The spirit of God is the spirit of power.
Guds ånd er magt og kraft.
When the spirit of God comes into a person's life, in the man's life, his weakness is covered with the power of God.
Når Guds ånd kommer ind i et menneskes liv, så bliver menneskets svaghed dækket af Guds kraft.
So that's why the spirit of God changes our life
derfor,
and the life of the people.
Guds ånd ændrer vores liv og menneskers liv.
So the spirit of God also related to the creative work in the beginning.
Guds ånd hører også med da Gud skaber i begyndelsen.
The spirit of God is he who moved over the face of the abyss and converted chaos into cosmos.
Der står at Guds ånd svævede over vandene, og så var det at kaos, det mørke, det blev til lys og liv.
Converted disorder into order.
Uorden.
And formed the universe out of nothing.
Uorden blev til orden, og et univers der ikke var blev til.
So when the spirit of God enters a human life, the disorder of our human nature becomes the order of God.
Når Guds ånd kommer ind i vores liv, så bliver den forfærdelige uorden, som er i vores liv, den bliver omskabt til orden.
Now our lives are shaped by the Spirit until they are in tune with God's perfect harmony.
Nu formes vores liv af Gud indtil at det samstemmer med Guds vilje.
Remember John was talking about the fire who sweeps through the forest, and so they would the snakes and the scorpions would run for their lives.
Og tænk lige et øjeblik igen på ilden, som jo kommer i ørkenen, og så flygter slanger og skorpioner.
And the conception that he is giving, that he is baptizing with water, but there was someone coming who would baptize with fire and with spirit.
Og Johannes døber, han døber med vand, men nu kommer der en, som døber med ånd og med ild.
Among other ideas, he was trying to tell them other things. This idea includes, among other things, the idea of purification.
Så samtidig med det andet, han har sagt, så vil han også forklare dem noget om renselse.
The purifying fire destroys the faults and leaves only the true ones.
Den rensende ild, den fjerner det som ikke skal være, og så er det som det skal være, det som er til overs.
When Christ and his word when that enters to a person's heart, his purifying fire casts out all evil.
Når at Kristi ord kommer ind i et menneskes liv, så er det at det renser og uddriver alt det onde.
And sometimes this comes through painful experiences, but your character will emerge clean and purified.
Men det kan koste virkelig smerte, når sådan noget sker i vores liv, men resultatet, det er godt.
So that was what John wanted to teach them, that he was baptizing just with water, not just but with water, but the one who would come, they would baptize, would purify them with his spirit, with his word, and with his life.
Så Johannes døber, han sagde, jeg døber jer, og ikke kun, men jeg døber jer med vand, det var godt nok, men han som kommer efter mig, han skal døbe jer med og rense jer med ånd og med ild.
In all of John's preaching, there was this fundamental demand: repent.
I Johannes døbers forkyndelse var det denne grundlæggende, dette grundlæggende kald, omvend jer.
This was also the fundamental existence of Jesus, because he began his ministry by preaching repent and faith in the gospel.
Det samme med Jesus, han sagde også som det første, omvend jer og tro på evangeliet.
Mark chapter 1. Verse 15, the hour has come and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent of your sins and believe in the gospel.
Markus kapitel 1, vers 15, himmeriget er kommet nær, omvend jer og tro på evangeliet.
So we said in the beginning that the one of the characteristics of John's preaching was repent.
Jeg sagde i begyndelsen, at et af de karakteristika for Johannes Døbers forkyndelse var omvend jer.
And the Hebrew word used as an equivalent of repent means something like to turn around.
Og det hebraiske ord, som svarer til omvendelse, det betyder noget i retning af at vende.
It is to turning away from evil by turning to God.
At dreje sig væk fra, eller blive drejet væk fra det onde og til Gud.
And not just only in our mind.
Og ikke bare i ens tanker.
But also in our deeds.
Men også i vores gerninger.
And that's why John is saying, repent and show that you are repent with your life.
Det er derfor Johannes siger, omvend jer og vis også omvendelsens frugter.
A true repentance results not just in that feeling of sadness, not just I'm not just sad because I sinned. That's not just that. It comes with a real change of life.
En ret omvendelse, det er ikke bare at man sidder i et hjørne og er ked af det over sine synder, men det er også en fornyelse af ens liv.
So of course we need to be sad because our sin. We need to cry because our sins took Jesus to the cross. But not just sad. I need to change my behavior and my thoughts and my heart and my life and everything what I have and everything what I am.
Så omvendelsen er ikke bare, at man altså er ked af det, og det er man, fordi man er en synder. Men også, at man ændrer sit liv, hjerte, tanke og gerning.
And then another thing shows up in this when we talk about sin, repentance, and a new life.
Der er også en anden ting, der kommer frem her, når vi taler om omvendelse og tro og et nyt liv.
It's confession.
Det er, at man...
We repent our sins. We confess our sins.
Bekender sine synder.
Proverbs, verse 28... chapter 28 verse 13 says, he who tries to hide his sins will not succeed in life, but God has mercy on those who confess their sins and forsake them.
Chapter 28 verse
13.
Yeah. Der står i Ordsprogenes bog kapitel 28 vers 13, den der vil skjule sine overtrædelser går det ikke godt. Men den, der bekender dem og holder op med dem, finder barmhjertighed.
And the Psalm 32, verse 5, says almost the same. Then I confessed my sin to you and did not hide my iniquity. Decided to confess everything to you and you forgave all my sins.
Og i Salme 32 står der, at jeg sagde, jeg vil bekende mine overtrædelser for Herren, og du tilgav mig min syndeskyld.
So, confession is also an important part of our Christian life.
Og det at bekende sine synder er en vigtig del af en kristens liv.
And that's why our worship service mainly in also begin always begin with a confession.
Og det er derfor, at vores gudstjeneste den indeholder og ofte begynder med syndsbekendelse.
So before we can go to our Lord Jesus in worship service, we confess that we are unworthy to be there.
Så før vi kan komme til Gud i en gudstjeneste, så bekender vi, at vi er uværdige.
But when we confess our sin, we repent from our sins, then Jesus, then God looks at you and sees Jesus in us. Because now we are forgiven from our sins.
Og med tilgivelsen så er det, at Gud han ser i dig, Jesus, fordi at alle dine synder er tilgivet.
Yeah, we are almost done. You want to sing a song so the people could maybe, yeah. Oh, just be keep going. I can see you are a little bit tired. So I, yeah, and I know it's not easy to hear the same thing twice because. You're hearing me, and then you're hearing life. So I asked him if we could sing a song, so we could maybe.
So we sing number 18, og så tager vi lige det sidste.
And if you want to stand up and just stretch your legs.
Ja, dem der vil stå op kan stå op nu, og så synger vi Jeg var ej for lille til at blive dybt. Jeg var ej for lille til at blive døbt. Jeg Guds barn er blevet, dyrt af Jesus købt. Jeg er ej for lille til din ånd at få. Den har du jo lovet alle dine små.
Okay, now you are awake again, and we can go to the end of our text.
Så nu vågnede I jo, og så lad os lige afslutte det her.
So, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13.
Matthæus kapitel 3, vers 13.
And if we see these texts, one question comes up.
Og når man ser den her tekst, så rejser sig et spørgsmål.
Why Jesus came John to be baptized.
Hvorfor kom Jesus til Johannes Døber for at blive døbt?
If we look what John was saying beforehand, that those who came to him to be baptized need to repent their sins.
For Johannes Døber havde jo sagt til alle, der kom til ham, I skal omvende jer.
And his baptism was for forgiveness of sin.
I skal bekende jeres synder, og hans dåb, det var så til syndernes forladelse.
And if Jesus is that what he is, what we know he is, with no sin and no wrongdoing.
Og hvis Jesus han er den, som vi ved han er, altså uden synd, uden at have gjort noget forkert.
Why he came to be baptized?
Hvorfor kom han så for at blive døbt?
Did he need it?
Er han brug for det?
Or did he just for fun?
Eller gjorde han det bare for sjov?
Why was it?
Hvorfor?
What do you think?
Tror jeg.
You can, yeah, it's not a rhetorical question. You can help me out. Not help me out, help us out. What do you think?
Han påtog sig andres synd og lod sig døbe.
He took upon himself the sin of others, and so he was baptized.
He don't need it, but he did it.
Verse 15.
Verse 15.
Vers 15, lad det nu ske, for således bør vi opfylde al retfærdighed.
So he did what his father told him to do. Yeah.
Han gjorde, hvad hans far havde sagt, han skulle.
You are right. You are all right. Jesus was beginning his ministry, public ministry.
Jesus begyndte sin offentlige tjeneste.
So for many years he was just waiting.
Han havde ventet i mange år.
He was just waiting at home in Nazareth.
Han havde ventet i Nazareth, da han var hjemme.
And all this time he knew that the world was waiting for him so also.
Og han vidste, at verden ventede på ham.
Jesus was waiting for the right time and for the proper time.
Jesus ventede til det rette tidspunkt kom.
And when Jesus and when John appeared, he knew that was the right moment to begin his public ministry.
Og da Johannes Døber stod frem, så vidste Jesus, nu var tiden kommet.
And here is now a historical reason also for why he did it.
Men der er også en historisk begrundelse for at Jesus gjorde det.
No Jew. You remember I said earlier that the Jews thought they had no sins. So they would go to heaven just because they were Abraham's descendants.
Jeg sagde før, at jøderne, de troede, det var udbredt, at de troede, de kom i himlen bare fordi de var jøder.
So some historians and theologians, they believe that the Jews knew and used some kind of baptism at that time.
Og der er historikere, som fortæller, at jøderne brugte en dåb på det tidspunkt.
But not for Jews. Just for proselytes.
Men dåben var ikke noget, som jøderne skulle døbes med. Det var kun for proselytter, dem der ville blive jøder.
It was considered natural that it was necessary for the proselyte to be baptized because his past life he had been stained by a multitude of sins and all sorts of filth, but no Jew had ever thought that he needed to.
Dem, som kom udefra, altså proselytterne, dem, der var hedninger, havde levet uretfærdigt og rigtig dårligt liv, og de havde brug for at blive renset og ordnet, og det blev det så i dåben. Men det havde ingen jøde rigtig brug for.
So when they saw Jesus getting baptized, they were terrified, because no Jew needed to do that, because no Jew had sin.
Og da de så, at Jesus, selv Jesus blev døbt, så tænkte de, det er da forfærdeligt, det er da skrækkeligt, det her.
So, when Jesus did it, he was taking upon himself my sin and also your sin.
Da Jesus blev døbt, der påtog han sig vores søn, min og din.
So when Jesus came to be baptized, he also identified himself with the man he had to save. He came to save with the people, with the a human being he came to save.
Ved dåben der identificerede han sig med det menneske, som han var kommet for at redde og frelse.
You remember the voice that came from heaven when Jesus got baptized.
Og I husker også den røst, der lød fra himlen.
And that's also a great and a big thing for us.
Og det er også en stor og fantastisk ting for os.
Matthew 3 verse 16.
Matthæus
3:16-17. This is my dear son who gives me great joy.
Det er min elskede søn, som giver mig stor glæde.
So we have here two quotations from the Old Testament.
Og det er et citat fra det gamle testamente.
The first one is you are my son. It belongs to the Psalm 2 verse 7.
Og det første det er du er min søn, og det står i Salme 2.
And when the people were hearing that voice, they could relate to this sentence, you are my son, from the Psalm 2 verse 7.
Når folk hørte du er min søn, så relaterede de til Salme 2.
And the second quotation from this verse is full of joy or great joy. You are my son from the psalm and you give me great joy. It comes from Isaiah verse 42 chapter 42, verse 1.
Og det andet, som på dansk hedder, i ham har jeg fundet velbehag, og som Jenny Walter oversætter med, ham har jeg min store glæde i, det står i Esajas kapitel 42, vers 1.
And this is one of the descriptions of the suffering servant from Isaiah.
Og det er det afsnit, kapitel 42, er en af de beskrivelser af den lidende tjener hos profeten Esajas.
So at that moment of baptism, Jesus is confirming that he is truly the chosen one from God, and that he way ahead was to way to the cross under for our sins.
Så her ved Jesu dåb, der er det, at der lægges op til, at Jesus han skal lide på korset. Det står i Gamle Testamentet.
So Jesus getting being baptized, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't just for fun. It wasn't just for doing something different. It had a whole purpose behind it.
Det var ikke bare et tilfælde, han blev døbt. Det var heller ikke for sjov. Det havde et stort, stort formål.
Okay, that's the John the Baptist, what he's teaching and preaching and baptizing. So what does it have with us today, with the modern church, with the church in 2023.
Hvad har det så med os at gøre her i 2023?
So Jesus, when he went back to heaven, he tells his disciples they should go to all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Jo, da Jesus han skulle fare til himmels, der samlede han sine disciple, og så sagde han, døb i Faderens, Sønnens og Helligåndens navn.
To make disciples is by preaching and by baptizing. By our testimony to other people, we make other disciples.
Disciple bliver man, når der bliver forkyndt om Jesus, når vidnesbyrdet bliver bragt ud, ved dåb og ved oplæring.
And what's also important in this commandment that Jesus gives to the church, and we see it in Matthew 28, chapter 28, if you go to the end of the book of Matthew, we see it. When Jesus says, and baptize them in the name of the Father, not names, just one name.
I Matthæus kapitel 28, vers 19 og 20, står der, i det I døber dem i Faderens og Sønnens og Helligåndens navn. Der står ikke navne i flertal, men navn.
He is also present the doctrine of the Holy Trinity.
Så giver han os også den kristne lære om den hellige treenighed.
Those who are baptized in our days in the name of the Holy Trinity receive all the benefits.
Dem som i dag døbes i Faderens, Sønnens og Helligåndens navn får alle gaverne.
They have God as their Father.
De har Gud som far.
They receive all the benefits of the redeeming act of the Son Jesus Christ.
De får alle sønnens frelsende, forløsende gaver.
They receive the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit.
De får også kraften og nærværet, den hellige ånds nærvær.
So that's our job now, our mission in the world.
Så det er vores opgave, vores mission i verden.
We have the Holy Spirit within us by our baptism.
Ved vores dåb har vi den hellige ånd i os.
So as member of a church, as the Church of Christ here on earth, we have this beautiful mission to go, to preach, to teach, and to baptize.
Som Kristi kirke her på jorden har vi denne smukke opgave, at vi går og døber og underviser.
And at that Pentecost in the book of Acts, when the disciples were full of the Spirit and began to preach in different languages and different ways.
Og i apostlenes gerninger hører vi, at apostlene de forkyndte på mange sprog og til alle folkeslag.
The Church of Christ increases that day 3,000, says the Bible text.
Og bibelteksten fortæller, at der var 3,000, som kom til troen og blev døbt den dag.
We have the same mission ahead of us, to keep preaching and to keep teaching.
Vi har samme mission foran os, at vi skal blive ved med at undervise om.
And we heard on the sermon yesterday that our mission is to preach, not to convert.
Og vi hørte i søndags, at vores opgave ikke er at omvende, men at forkynde.
But we must make us two questions.
Men vi må stille to spørgsmål.
Are we preaching and teaching enough?
You said enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prædiker vi og underviser vi tilstrækkeligt?
But and if we are preaching and teaching, why does the church doesn't grow as fast as the church in Acts?
Og hvis vi prædiker og hvis vi underviser, hvordan kan det så være, at kirken ikke vokser så sådan som den gjorde på pinsedagen?
And yeah, we can think about it and talk about it among ourselves, but I can bring you one answer for that.
Det er et godt spørgsmål at overveje hver især, men jeg har et svar til jer.
So if the church is preaching and teaching and it's not growing like it could or it should.
Hvis kirken hvis vi forkynder og underviser, men kirken ikke vokser som den kunne og som den måske burde.
The problem is not the Holy Spirit.
Så er problemet ikke Helligånden.
He still has the power to convert people.
Han har virkelig kraften til at omvende mennesker.
The problem is not the gospel.
Problemet er heller ikke evangeliet.
It remains the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes in it.
Det er Guds kraft til frelse for enhver som tror.
If the problem is not in the Holy Spirit, and neither is it the problem in the gospel.
Hvis problemet hverken er hos den hellige ånd eller er i evangeliet.
What option do we have left?
Hvilke muligheder er der så tilbage?
There is the Holy Spirit and there is the gospel, the word. What option do we have left?
Hvad er det så af andre årsager til at evangeliet ikke omvender mennesker?
The problem is not the Holy Spirit. The problem is not in the gospel.
Problemet er altså ikke Helligånden, problemet er heller ikke evangeliet.
Maybe the problem is in us.
Måske problemet er i os.
Maybe the problem is in me as a pastor.
Måske er problemet i mig, som er en præst.
Or in all the church, the people who come to church.
Eller problemet er hos dem, som kommer i kirke.
And I don't want to seem very legalist.
Jeg vil ikke her være logisk overfor jer.
But we have to think about it.
Men overvej det.
I don't want to make you feel sad or terrible about yourself.
Det jeg ønsker jeg ikke at I tænker at det er slemt med jer.
About ourselves. But that's one thing we need to think about it more. The Holy Spirit is the same. The gospel is the same. Maybe sometimes and in some way we need to do it with more will in our heart to preach and to teach as a church, not as individual people.
Måske skulle der være mere vilje til at forkynde evangeliet i kirken og i vores liv.
Because God chose me and chose you to do it.
Og Gud valgte dig og mig.
He could call angels to do it in our behalf, but He wants to use me as imperfect as I am.
Han kunne også have valgt engle til det, men han valgte og han valgte mig.
And John also always pointed to God, to Jesus. There is someone coming who is greater than I am, said John about Jesus.
Og hans døber pegede også på en anden end sig selv, nemlig på Jesus.
And that's the same way we have to do it, and we can do it, and we shall continue to do it every day in our life.
Og det samme må vi også pege hen på ham dagligt i vores liv.
The same Jesus who gave these guidelines to go out and preach and teach and baptize.
Den samme Jesus, som gav befalingen at gå ud og døbe og oplære.
He's the same one who gives us strength and gives us courage and gives us means to do it in our church, in our country, in our life.
Det er også ham, som giver os styrke og opmuntrer os til at gøre det. Og han giver os også midler til at gøre det i vores tid.
The power of John was not in him.
Johannes Døbers kraft lå ikke i ham selv.
Was in the word of God.
Men i Guds ord.
The power is not in us.
Styrken er ikke i os.
It comes from the word of God.
Kommer fra Guds ord.
So we can happily keep doing our work in this world.
Så vi med glæde kan gøre arbejdet i den verden.
Pointing to that Jesus.
I det vi peger på Jesus.
Who carried our sins upon his shoulders.
Som bar vores synder på sine skuldre.
So that we the last day can hear, come in the realm that I prepared for you since the foundation and the creation of the world.
Så vi på den sidste dag må høre, kom ind og arv det rige, som har været forberedt for jer, fra før verdens grundvold blev lagt.
So thank you for your patience. And,
tak for jeres tålmodighed.
We keep talking.
Og bliv med at snakke.